Good morning, everyone. Secretary Fletcher, do we recognize a quorum?
Yes, a quorum is present, Interim President Woodruff.
Thank you. I call this meeting, therefore, to order. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Quorum. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? The agenda is approved. Is there a motion to approve the October 27, 2023 meeting minutes?
So moved.
Is there
support?
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? The minutes are approved. Well, good morning, everyone. It's now my pleasure to present the report of the university since our last Board of Trustees meeting. Today, we begin 2 days of celebrating the success of some 4,400 Spartans receiving baccalaureate and advanced degrees in our fall commencement ceremonies. These are joyful occasions and big milestones in the lives of our graduates and truly among our favorite events. This year's undergraduate fall class includes students from more than 34 countries, 38 U.S. states, and 72 of Michigan's 83 counties. They include 222 Honors College students and more than 2,500 students who have been on the Dean's List at least once. Later this morning, I also look forward to helping salute the 60-plus graduating seniors earning the Board of Trustees Award for compiling perfect grade point average throughout their years here at MSU. I was delighted to shake their hands and welcome their families yesterday afternoon at a wonderful event. This is a remarkable achievement indeed. A highlight of our commencement ceremonies is always the honorary degree recipients who speak to the graduates. This semester, Nobel laureate David McMillan, the McDonald Distinguished University Professor of Chemistry at Princeton, will speak at one of the baccalaureate ceremonies, and Doug Gage and I had the distinct pleasure of hearing his open talk yesterday. Alumna Linda Aspey, who is president of ITC Holdings Corp., the nation's largest independent electricity transmission company, will speak at the other ceremony on Saturday. And John Hildebrand, an accomplished scholar in neurobiology and chemical ecology, and international secretary for the National Academies of Sciences, addresses master's, doctoral, and professional degree graduates this afternoon. As we prepare to wrap up the semester, Registrar Steve Shablin's office is busy recording grades. They expect to tally more than 192,000 grades by next week's deadline, an increase from last year's 185,000 grades recorded. Provost Yaitsko, congratulations to you and everyone in the Provost Office. The exceptional education we provide our graduates is attested to by a new set of exceptional rankings of MSU's academic programs. The latest Shanghai Global Ranking of Academic Subjects ranks 4 MSU disciplines in their top 25, 3 in the top 10 among more than 1,900 universities. Additionally, with more than 800 courses incorporating sustainability into their curriculum or experiential learning, MSU has placed in the top 3% in the world in the new QS sustainability ranking. The new ranking puts us number 41 among all participating schools globally and number 6 in the nation. And in another recent ranking of MSU's commitment to green principles, MSU is the only university in Michigan to be included in the Princeton Review's new list of top 50 green colleges in the United States. Michigan State has so much to celebrate and so much to be thankful for as we approach the end of another year. And even as we count our blessings, we know there are many who are in harm's way around the world or are feeling unsafe in our own backyard. We continue to lament the lives lost, including members of the global Spartan community. On October 9th, we gathered to mourn the lives lost in Israel on October 7th. On November 7th, we gathered to mourn the death of Palestinians, including former Fulbright Exchange Humphrey Fellow Tariq Tabet, who studied at MSU during the 2021-2022 academic year. On October 18, I walked alongside our Black students who shared feelings of isolation and safety concerns due to racist expressions and harassments on our campus. I want to make clear, MSU condemns all forms of bigotry, hate, racism, and violence, including what we have seen most recently inflicted on Israelis and Palestinians, and the racist and hateful language and comments that have made our Black students and community feel isolated and unsafe. As I shared last month in a communication to campus, such local and global issues are interconnected since they can impede MSU's priority of student success. And so, with each day, we work to enable processes, policies, and the people in whose interests this work serves to create a safe and welcoming environment. This includes students and employees of all races, ethnicities, identities, religions, or political views, all Spartans. As conflicts in Eastern Europe, the Middle East, and East Africa, and tensions rise at home, we vociferously reaffirm our commitment to nurturing a campus community where ardent discussion is valued and understands that we are stronger standing together. I continue to meet with students, families, and our extended community to understand how we can be more proactive and nuanced in our efforts. This is our daily work. In addition, my team continues to partner with colleagues both on and off campus to provide students the best academic, personal, and social support possible in this moment. I want to reiterate my and this university's condemnation of violence and our commitment to supporting every MSU student, faculty, staff, alumni, family member, and community along their academic journey. Next, I want to acknowledge successful MSU students. This month, we are extremely proud to announce senior Dorothy Zhao as MSU's 20th Marshall Scholar, a prestigious award that supports graduate studies in the United Kingdom. Dorothy is an incredibly accomplished student, completing 3 bachelor's degrees in only 3 years, while holding multiple research assistantships and student organization leadership roles. And we also celebrate recent MSU graduate Angela Yuan, who was named our first Swartzman Scholar. This scholarship program offers a fully funded 1-year master's degree and leadership program in Beijing, China. I also want to congratulate Teresa Mastin on her selection by Interim Provost Yaitsko as our next Vice Provost and Associate Vice President for Faculty and Academic Staff Affairs. Dr. Mastin has served as the Interim Dean of MSU's College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences since May. And my thanks to Ann Austin, who will return to her faculty responsibilities after serving with extreme dedication as Interim Vice Provost and Associate Vice President since July of 2022. It is my pleasure to welcome 3 new Spartan leaders. Dr. Joyce DeYoung is being recommended today by EVP Dr. Norm Beauchamp to become the next Dean of the College of Osteopathic Medicine. Confirmation of her appointment is on the agenda this morning. And I also want to commend Dr. Andy Amafitano for his commitment and visionary leadership of the college since 2018. I wish him well as he returns his focus to research and faculty commitments. I'm also pleased to extend a warm Spartan welcome to Jonathan Smith, our new head football coach. He comes to us from Oregon State, where he's built a remarkable program over the last 6 years, last year being named the Pac-12 Co-Coach of the Year. I congratulate Athletic Director Alan Haller on a great selection and welcome Coach Smith and his family to East Lansing. And I would also like to congratulate again Kevin Guskowitz, Chancellor of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, on his selection as the next president of Michigan State University. Tom and I had the pleasure of spending time with Kevin, Amy, and their daughter Tessa last weekend. I look forward to working with him during the transition period as we prepare to write the next chapter of MSU's storied history. President-elect Guskowitz will step into the role on March 4th, and I cannot think of a more auspicious date. Together, we will all march forth into a bright future for MSU. Finally, we have 2 esteemed leaders to say goodbye to today. In our last meeting, I paid tribute to Kathy Wilbur as she planned to step down as Senior Vice President for Governmental Relations. We were heartbroken to announce her recent passing and remain grateful for her experience and wisdom. Kathy, a 3-time Spartan alumna, has also served on this Board of Trustees. I send our condolences and the gratitude of the entire university to Kathy's family. And we bade farewell to Ms. Melissa Wu, who retired this month. Dr. Wu served as Executive Vice President for Administration, as well as Chief Information Officer and as President of the MSU Research Foundation. I wish her the very best in her retirement. And today, the board will consider my nominations for Interim Executive Vice President for Administration and for the Interim Chief Information Officer position. I'd like to now call upon Trustee Byram to read the board's resolution honoring Kathy Wilbur.
Thank you very much. It's with great sorrow that I bring forward this resolution. We had anticipated celebrating Kathy's service to MSU at this board meeting, but that just wasn't to be. The Michigan State University Board of Trustees extends its condolences to friends, family, and colleagues of Senior Vice President for Government Relations, Kathleen M. Wilbur, and its deep appreciation for her dedicated service to this university and the citizens of the state of Michigan. After an accomplished 45-year career with more than 22 years in higher education administration, Wilbur passed away Sunday, November 26, 2023. Wilbur came to MSU in 2018 and was instrumental in securing annual increases in state operational support for MSU. In addition, she secured funding for key MSU projects, including dairy barn and greenhouse research and teaching facilities, the Engineering and Digital Innovation Center, EDICT, and the initiatives including the Center to Prevent Mass Violence. She was a knowledgeable legislative strategist who connected MSU faculty, students, and programs to federal and state legislative leaders and priorities. Through her coordination with Apple, she helped launch MSU Apple Academy in Detroit. Wilbur spent her earlier career advocating for strong higher education institutions in Michigan. She spent 16 years at Central Michigan University, where she served as interim president, vice president of advancement and external relations, and as vice president for government relations. While at CMU, she also helped launch a new medical school. In 2007, she was inducted into the Michigan Women's Hall of Fame. Before her career in higher education, Wilbur served for 12 years in state government as the only woman director to ever lead three different departments: the Department of Licensing and Regulation, the Commerce Department, and the Department of Consumer and Industry Services. Wilbur started her career in the Michigan legislature, working in communications and policy positions, and as chief of staff for former Senator Bill Cederberg. She was elected in 1984 to this board of trustees, where she served for one term. Wilbur was a proud and loyal Spartan who earned 3 degrees from Michigan State University, a bachelor's degree in journalism, and a master's and doctoral degrees in higher education administration. Kathy Wilbur's legacy at Michigan State University will continue to inspire and guide us in our mission to advance knowledge and transform lives.
Thank you, Trustee Byram. I now call upon Trustee Deno to read a board resolution honoring Melissa Wu.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. The Michigan State University Board of Trustees hereby extends its deepest appreciation to Dr. Melissa Wu for her unwavering dedication, exemplary service, and contributions to Michigan State University, and wishes her continued success in all future endeavors. Dr. Melissa Wu has diligently served MSU as the Executive Vice President for Administration and Chief Information Officer. Dr. Wu's retirement on December 1st, 2023 marks the culmination of an illustrious tenure with MSU beginning in 2019. In her dual role as CIO and EVPA, Dr. Wu has exemplified commendable leadership, effectively stewarding resources and ensuring continuity. Her presidency of the MSU Research Foundation highlighted her adeptness in administering complex units and fostering strong collaboration with academic entities to align administrative services with educational objectives. Dr. Wu's tenure at MSU has been characterized by her dynamic role as a catalyst for transformative change, leading vital initiatives such as the university's remote work policy, the implementation of the name, gender, and pronoun policy, and the Identity and Access Management Modernization Program. Her advocacy for the vital role of support staff has been unwavering, culminating in her recent valuable contributions to the Presidential Search Committee and her co-sponsorship of the Stewardship and Sustainability and Staff and Faculty Success thematic areas, further showcasing her multifaceted and significant impact on the university. As CIO, Dr. Wu innovatively formulated a federated partnership model with various colleges and units, skillfully integrating unit-specific technology support with the advantages of centralized information technology, aligning IT with business goals, effectively managing institutional risk, and achieving enterprise efficiencies. Her leadership in securing a grant-funded external collaboration bridged critical infrastructure gaps, enhancing fiber optic infrastructure across the state. Dr. Wu's previous tenures at Stony Brook University, the University of Oregon, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, where she earned her PhD in biophysics, have all contributed to her distinguished career. She earned her undergraduate degree in biophysics from the University of California, Berkeley.
Thank you. Very fine. Thank you very much. I now call upon Board Secretary Stephen Fletcher to invite public participation on items germane to the agenda. Board Secretary Fletcher.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Interim President Woodruff. We'll now proceed to public participation on items germane to the agenda. Each individual who's signed up to speak will have 3 minutes to address the board. Your time will end when the buzzer sounds. Given the number of speakers today, we really do ask that you not exceed the 3 minutes, or if you're still sort of talking, please wrap up your remarks when the 3 minutes are up. Note that persons scheduled to speak may not cede all or part of your time to other individuals or read statements on behalf of others. We'll first hear from Danielle Moore, followed by Sue Moore. I understand that Danielle and Sue may not have joined us yet, but I believe Amanda Cormier is with us. So, Amanda, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Amanda, we'll start the time now. Good morning.
Okay, good morning. I'm going to keep this short and sweet. Thank you for finally putting the release of documents on the agenda. I appreciate you listening and considering this resolution. As one of the survivors, a Spartan alum, and someone who spent time on an elected board like all of you, I understand the pressure you feel to protect the university, but also those of us who spend time here. I truly believe that the culture of MSU will not heal until the documents are released and we learn more about the culture of MSU that allowed this to happen to so many people. If, as some of you have said, you're trying to protect the university, protect it by letting the truth be known and move forward building a better culture, one that protects and believes women and girls and holds those who did nothing accountable. Thank you for your time, and please vote yes for the release of documents.
Amanda, thank you very much. Appreciate the remarks. Our next speaker is Valerie Von Frank, followed by Melissa Hudes. Valerie, can you hear me?
I can.
Good morning, Valerie. Please begin your remarks.
Good morning. Well, here we are. It's 5 years later after you, the board, not necessarily the same board members, but you asked for an investigation. It's nearly 6 years since the perpetrator was sentenced. It's 7 years since you first found out about this in public, and 8 years since you knew about it privately, that you had harbored a serial pedophile on your campus for 2 decades. Today, we'll find out who each of you board members really is. I want to commend particularly Dr. Rima Vassar, the chair, for her work in bringing this forward through her efforts in transparency, which she ran on, and Dennis Denno for having the courage to be the first board member ever to bring this up in a public meeting as a motion. So I'll just ask the rest of you, do you stand behind your promises that you made on the campaign trail, in pledges, and in public in the boardroom? Do you have an ounce of the courage of these young women who have come forward over the years? I'm looking at one right now who was a freshman in high school when she first came forward. And now she's almost ready to graduate college. So I commend you. No, I don't, actually. I can't commend you for doing the right thing after 8 years, but I hope that you do the right thing.
Valerie, thank you for your remarks. We'll next hear from Melissa Hudes, followed by Angelica Martinez McGee. Melissa, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Melissa, please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning. Here we are. And, you know, this meeting got moved virtual. We've had everything, every bump in the road to get to this morning. And I just want to remind everybody there's two traumas here. There's the trauma that is perpetuated by the perpetrator, and then there's the trauma of dealing with the fact that MSU has continued to fail to do the right thing. I am pleased that we are at this moment. I hope that MSU's Board of Trustees choose to act to represent the survivors rather than in the best interest of the university. You know, I just am going to take a moment of silence just for ask everyone to just pause and think about what these sisters have been through to get to this point. What's about to happen today for me is at least half my healing journey. This is a very significant moment. It is difficult to come up here and continue to watch things go wrong at MSU. If these documents aren't released, if we don't have transparency, if we can't trust the Board of Trustees, then what was the point of everything that we've been through as sisters? What was the point?
Melissa, thank you for your comments. Will, I believe Angelica has Martinez McGee is not with us, but Danielle Moore has joined. So we'll go back to Danielle. Danielle, can you hear me? Danielle, good morning.
Hello.
Oh, Daniel, good morning. We will begin. Please proceed with your remarks.
Okay. My name is Danielle Moore. Like you said, I am one of the sister survivors. Again, I'm coming to you to ask you to release the documents unredacted. Again, by releasing the documents, MSU will fulfill the moral and ethical obligation it has to us survivors. Also want to remind you to make no mistake, if this institution, if MSU was actually a person, they would be in prison for the next 20 years and not to be trusted in regards to the Nassar case. To put it in other words, would anyone now trust Larry Nassar to watch over their children or the institution that enabled him to do so? I don't think so. So by releasing these documents, this is a way for MSU to show that they are no longer that institution that enabled Nassar. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker is Sue Moore. So Sue, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
We can, Sue. Good morning, and please proceed with your remarks.
Okay. I'm the mother of a sister survivor. My daughter, as well as 500 other sister survivors, were assaulted over and over again for many years. We need to know why this happened so it never happens again. If your child was assaulted, wouldn't you want to know? Release the documents. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. I believe Angelica still has not joined us, so Interim President Woodruff, that concludes public comment on items that are germane to the agenda.
Thank you, Board Secretary Fletcher. I now call upon Vice President for Research and Innovation, Doug Gage, to present the gift, grant, and contract report. Vice President Gage.
Good morning. Chairperson Vassar, members of the Board of Trustees, I request approval of the awards found in the gift, grant, and contract report. The report period is August 10th, 2023 through November 13th, 2023. The total value for this period is $306,308,890.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the gift, grant, and contract report?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Support.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? The gift, grant, and contract report is approved. I now call upon Vice President for Research and Innovation, Doug Gage, to introduce the research presentation. Vice President Gage.
Thank you. It's always my pleasure to highlight the real excellence of MSU's faculty, staff, and students in these events. And today I have the pleasure of introducing our research presenter, Federica Brandizzi. She is a University Distinguished Professor, MSU Research Foundation Professor, and she joined MSU in 2006 as an associate professor in the MSU DOE Plant Research Lab. She currently leads research on the role of endomembranes, or membranes within the cell, in plant growth, productivity, and stress response on Earth, and as you'll learn, recently in space. Since 2020, she has also served as the science director of the Department of Energy Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center, one of our most successful research programs. Dr. Brandizzi's research has been supported by the NIH, NSF, DOE, and NSF since her arrival, as well as support from the MSU Research Foundation and the MSU, or the Michigan Translational Research and Commercialization Award. And she's developed an exciting research portfolio in the basic and applied sciences, and she brings in about $2 million for her lab every year. The breadth of Dr. Brandizzi's expertise is sought after by national and international funding agencies, including the National Institutes of Health, for which she's served on the study section of the Membrane Biology and Protein Processing Biology for a six-year term. That's not a common role for the typical plant scientist, I might add. Dr. Brandizzi is also the senior editor of the Plant Journal, one of the leading scientific journals in the plant sciences. And as exemplified by her over 150 peer-reviewed articles since joining MSU, Dr. Brandizzi is efficient in building and directing effective and diverse research plans, identifying exciting new research frontiers, and managing very large budgets. In 2018, she was elected to the rank of fellow by the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Dr. Brandizzi completed her PhD in cell and molecular biology at the University of Rome Tor Vergata in 1997. After completing her PhD, she conducted two postdoctoral research experiences at Oxford in the UK. She worked on gene regulation and endomembranes in plant cells. In 2003, before joining MSU, she accepted a prestigious Canada research chair to establish her first independent lab at the University of Saskatchewan in Canada. Please welcome Federica Brandizzi. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Gage, for the beautiful introduction, and thank you all for being here today. It's my honor to be here and I'm really excited to show you some of the research that is ongoing in my lab. So I will start by sharing my presentation with you all. And I would like to start by saying that when I joined MSU 17 years ago, I came to the realization that I could play a role in solving one of the biggest problems that faces mankind today. And that is the problem of how to sustain our growing population with a steep rise in demand for food, energy, materials for constructions, and medicines. So what we know is that, I'd like to go to the next slide. Yes, what we know is that our population is projected to rise to 9.6 billion by 2050. And we also know, though, that plants are the primary providers for food, green energy, and sustainable biomaterials that are necessary for mankind. And as such, plants can offer realistic solution to the problems that are put at hand. But as you can see from these slides, at the current rate of production, our crops cannot fulfill the necessity of our growing population. The crop productivity is not going to be sufficient. And this is aggravated by the current climate change situation that impairs crop productivity. Now, the good news is that there are solutions, and these are offered by fundamental research in plant biology, like the one that is done at MSU and that my lab is contributing to. So who am I? I'm a plant cell biologist, and for the last three decades, I've been working on the plant secretory pathway. So the secretory pathway is a set of organelles that you see in this diagram on the left, and it's highly conserved in plants, humans, and also unicellular organisms like yeast. And the secretory pathway works as a secretory, as a conveyor belt to produce, synthesize, assemble, and deliver proteins, essential fats, and also sugars to the cell and to the rest of the organism. Therefore, the plants, the secretory pathway essentially builds an organism. Now, when we look at how the organelles of the secretory pathway look like in a cell, I want to show you these video clips that we took thanks to the powerful microscopes that MSU provides for researchers like me. So now we're looking at organelles that are alive inside the epidermal cells of a plant. So as you can see, there is so much life, and these organelles, the endoplasmic reticulum, the Golgi apparatus, and the vacuole, make part of this chain of organelles of the secretory pathway that I was talking to you about. So it's beautiful to see so much life, and it's also beautiful to see that when we eat our salad, this is the kind of energy and life that we're eating. So just keep this in mind, sometimes at lunch or dinner today. So now, through my career, I have come to appreciate the activities of the organelles of the secretory pathway can be modulated, but can also be bettered to become more productive. If the plant secretory pathway is improved, then crops become more productive. And this is achievable if we identify and understand the key players that operate in this pathway, and then we translate our findings to crops. And this is what my lab does. So we move our discoveries from the subcellular level that I'm showing here today to the field. Now, the motivation of my research is fueled by a sense of urgency and responsibility. As a mother, I want to give my three children a better world than what I found and change the direction of where it is going. I want it to go in the positive direction, not negative. And I know that we are also running out of time. So I want to do this now while I'm at MSU, because thanks to MSU, I have the support of an incredible team of researchers, generous funding bodies, and the awesome MSU leadership. So I believe, I strongly believe that together at MSU, we can better this planet. Now, enough about me. Let's talk really briefly about two, three examples of the research that is ongoing in my lab. So, and what do we do from the bench to the field? So we look at organelle morphology. We want to understand how these secretory organelles establish and maintain their identity, but also how they work together to make sure that the plant gets the right nutrients to transform them in the biomolecules that the secretory pathway produces. Among these, there are many antimicrobial compounds, and we can understand how the secretory pathway not only synthesize them, but also deliver them outside of the cell, where pathogens attack the cell and the plants need to defend itself. But also, we're studying how we can potentiate the secretory pathway to produce precursors for biofuels and bioproducts, and how the secretory pathway can help us understand humans for many of the conserved mechanisms that exist between plants and humans, including how cells respond to stress. And life here on Earth is fantastic, but we need space. We need to move to the next frontiers, and these are extracellular surfaces, and this is what my lab does. We help, we work with NASA to understand how we can take plants to space and colonize new surfaces. Now, we work with modern organisms like Arabidopsis and Brachypodium because they're easier to work, and then translate our findings to crops like sorghum, alfalfa, soybean, and also poplar. So we have a very healthy portfolio of studies and research. So just a couple of examples of what we're doing more practically. So we know that plant cells are surrounded by a very stiff cell wall that gives the plant its structure. This cell wall is made mainly of carbohydrates, and the carbohydrates are densely packed with each other. So a few years ago, we discovered that a protein from cotton that we call CGR, called cotton Golgi-related protein, could be put into Arabidopsis, our model plant species, and overproduce, so reaching limits that the cell normally does not produce at the level that the cells do not usually produce. And so what we have here is an Arabidopsis plant, a wild type, and these are transgenics that overexpress the CGR protein. And you can appreciate that these plants are bigger. This is important. It's an important achievement because we know that land is limited and we need to use land the best we can. So we may have to make plants that are bigger, but also they have better quality, and I'll get back to this in a second. So we translated our finding, our trait for biomass increase to poplar, and we found out that the stem of poplar, transgenic poplar, they overexpress this protein, are bigger than wild type. But we also found, and this is very important too, that by introducing this gene in plants, we can increase their digestibility. And this is important because in downstream applications, for example, in the biofuel arena, it's very important to use enzymes that can free sugars from the cell wall. And then these sugars will be fermented by microbes to produce biofuels and bioproducts. So if we make the cell wall more digestible, so we need less enzymes to convert the biomass into sugars that we can utilize. And so the trait that we put not only enlarged the cell wall to make the plants bigger, also allowed better permeability by enzymes. And this is a trait that we're trying to understand for its impact into feed for animals. If the feed is more digestible, it's likely that feedstock will be able to digest the food in their rumen and therefore benefit for their health. Now, talking about health, something, and if you had breakfast this morning with cereals, I hope you did because it's very good for you. There is a sugar that we work in our lab that is called mixed linkage glucan. This is soluble fiber, and it is produced in cereals, mainly in grasses. And we discovered in our lab that it is produced by the cellulosynthase-like F enzyme. And we demonstrated that this enzyme is produced in the Golgi of sorghum plants. And we thought, okay, maybe we can produce even more if we overexpress, if we overproduce this enzyme. And maybe it was an approach that was a bit, say, naive, because when we tried, we actually found out that the plants suffer. And I can go into a scientific explanation for that, but essentially we found out that our approach, just straight overexpression, was not sufficient. And this is not only us, this is a multi-million dollar industry, so many other scientists are on the same case. Well, we actually came out with quite an I would say clever approach to overexpress this protein at the time that the plant would not suffer from its overproduction. And so we were successful in producing sorghum transgenics that both in the greenhouse but also in the field can now overproduce this very important sugar. Now, enough about Earth. Let's move to space. So we've been working for years with NASA trying to understand how we can improve plants' life in space. This is very important. For many years, NASA and many other space agencies around the world have been working towards establishing life on the International Space Station. And efforts that we contributed to led to putting seedlings into the International Space Station. And I would say with variable success. Just to give you an example, these are our seedlings brought to space. You can see that they are transparent, sick, and not really the best plants. And this is our control on Earth. So there is still some work to do, but it is promising. We know now how plants respond to space. And this has led to the next step in our endeavor to move to space. And we were really fortunate to be given the opportunity to participate to the Artemis mission, which is it is the first step towards Mars. Essentially, we're moving from the International Space Station that will be soon decommissioned to the Moon, and then from the Moon to Mars. So if we want to colonize these very important surfaces, we need to learn how plants can survive the flight, but also can they live on these surfaces. So one way to do it is to make sure that plants have enough of the nutrients that they need for the travel. And so we've been working with NASA by using a germplasm, so seeds, they have an enhanced level of amino acids. Amino acids are the precursors for peptides and then proteins. And we had we used a technology that we developed here at MSU backgrounds of Arabidopsis plants have more of certain type of amino acids that stimulate growth. So we flew seeds with Artemis 1, the first of the, I believe, five missions that will go eventually to Mars, to seeds that have enhanced levels of the amino acids that make not only plants bigger, but also more equipped with essential amino acids that will allow them to grow. And we were successful in sending seeds to space. They came back, and as you can see here, they're germinating on our media in the lab, and they look healthy. And preliminary results in our lab indicate that these plants are doing better than the control when returned to flight. And so by providing them with more nutrients, we are fortifying them to resist space travel. So with this, I would like to conclude, and I would like to thank the team that's supporting me in the lab here at the Plant Research Lab, of course, all the funding bodies, and you for your attention and support. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And I should note that it's auspicious that this lecture is on the eve of the 150th anniversary of our Beale Gardens and the oldest experiment on Earth. And Professor Brandisi, I believe Professor Beale and Professor Bailey would be very proud of you and their legacy in your work. And I think we should all thank our Board of Trustees for their investments in our world and universe leading investments in plant science. And I also want to thank you very much for your urgency and the responsibility that you outlined. And on behalf of MSU and the world's children, thank you for your work. We really appreciate it. Trustees, any comments? I think we have a lot of applause. And so With that, we will now move on to our committee reports and other items. So I call now upon Trustee Rima Vassar, who will present the committee.
Interim President, I think we have to do the personnel action and information items.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Let me now call upon Interim Provost Yaitsko to present the personnel actions and information reports. Provost Yaitsko.
Thank you, President Woodruff. Trustees, I present for approval the items on the December 2023 list of personnel actions. I present for approval the following tenured faculty appointments. Alexandra Skirich, PhD, Associate Professor, Biochemistry and Molecular Biology, CNS, with tenure, effective January 1st, 2024. Minami Yoda, PhD, Chairperson and Red Cedar Distinguished Professor, Department of Mechanical Engineering, with tenure, effective November 1, 2023. Ruiyong Wang, PhD, Professor, Department of Chemical Engineering and Materials Science, with tenure, effective January 1, 2024. Kevin McGraw, PhD, Chairperson and Professor, Department of Integrative Biology, with tenure, effective May 16, 2024. James Shepard, PhD, Associate Professor, Department of Chemistry, with tenure, effective January 1, 2024. Nicole Becker, PhD, Associate Professor, Department of Chemistry, with tenure, effective January 1st, 2024.
Thank you very much.
I still have a few more to come. Thank you. And I present for approval the following promotion and tenure action, which was delayed last spring, recommended by the department chairpersons and school directors, the deans, and the provost in accordance with the tenure rules. The following promotion includes the award of tenure and is recommended to be effective January 1, 2024. Jennifer Carrera, promotion to associate professor with tenure, Department of Sociology. And I present for approval the following appointments. I'm pleased to recommend Michael Sandambrosio, JD, Senior Associate Dean, Juris Doctorate Programs, for a change in title to Interim Dean, College of Law, effective January 8, 2024. I'm pleased to recommend Alan Shaw, PhD, Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs and Services, Student Development and Learning Administration, for an additional title of Dean of Students, Student Life and Engagement, effective December 15, 2023. And I'm pleased to recommend Richard Zernecki, BS, Associate Vice President for Information Technology and Associate Chief Information Officer, MSU IT Office and the ACIO, for a change in title to Interim Chief Information Officer and Director, Department of IT Services, VP and CIO, effective December 2, 2023. I'm pleased to recommend Thomas Glasmacher, PhD, Director of EFRIB, the Facility of Rare Isotope Beams, for an additional title of Interim Executive Vice President for Administration, effective December 2, 2023. The action includes the recommendation of Jonathan Smith, Head Football Coach, Department of Intercollegiate Athletics, subject to contract, effective November 25, 2023, through January 31, 2031. And I'm pleased to recommend Joyce DeYoung, DO, Dean of the College of Osteopathic Medicine and Professor, Department of Radiology, with tenure, effective February 5, 2024. I present for approval the following personnel actions. It is recommended that the title of Senior Vice President for Government Relations be changed to Vice President for Government Relations, and that all applicable policy documents be revised to reflect change in title, effective November 27, 2023. I'm also pleased to recommend Katie John, MPA, Associate Vice President, Government Relations, for a change in title to Interim Vice President, Government Relations, effective November 27, 2023. Also included in your materials are information reports for academic personnel actions. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you, Provost Yaitsko. Is there a motion to approve the personnel actions?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? The personnel actions are approved. We'll now move to the committee reports and other items requiring board approval. Trustee Rima Vassar will now present the Committee on Budget and Finance report. Trustee Vassar.
Good morning. Let me find my. Thank you. Oh, my. One second. Okay, got a little loud, so I just wanted to make sure that we continued. Good morning. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the Board of Trustees hereby adopts Vision 2050, an integrated facilities and land use plan for MSU and revisions to the university zoning ordinance as included in Attachment A here too.
Thank you. Is there support for the motion?
Support.
Any discussion?
I think that we have Barb Krantz and smooth voice Steve Troost are available for discussion.
Barb, are you there?
I'm here now, sorry about that. So good morning. On behalf of myself and Steve Troost, we wish to thank the Board of Trustees for their involvement throughout the nearly two-year process that has led us here today for action to adopt the Vision 2050 plan. The planning process was structured for synchronous and asynchronous community engagement, and that resulted in significant and broad engagement that included students, faculty, staff, alumni, neighbors, and campus leaders, including the Board of Trustees. This community engagement was a cornerstone of the planning process. The Vision 2050 includes planning principles and recommendations that are rooted in the MSU strategic plan themes. These planning principles provide the foundation of the plan and include empower a Spartans United mindset, advance excellence in teaching, learning, and research, foster connectivity, engagement, and institutional identity, cultivate a living learning ecosystem, and promote stewardship of our resources and commitment to a sustainable and resilient future. With that, I'll turn it over to Steve Troost for some additional highlights.
Next slide, please. With some 30,000 acres of land across the state, 30 major ag bioresearch stations and an extension presence in every county, MSU provides cutting-edge teaching, research, and outreach services truly for a global impact. We saw that with Dr. Brandisi's presentation. Now, these resources are strategic assets that support the university's land-grant mission and community-based transformative research. Criteria to assess disposition of existing land holdings and acquisition of new land should center on and support academic success, research potential, outreach opportunities, strategic collaborations, and cultural resource stewardships. Next slide. Here in East Lansing and across the state, our goal is to leverage the highest and best use of our facilities and land resources. Understanding that a significant amount of the research conducted by ag bioresearch scientists takes place on the East Lansing campus, the plan strongly advocates for the preservation of the agricultural district, a unique and contiguous platform that includes both land and 18 teaching and research units. In addition, the plan calls for the preservation and enhancement of the campus natural areas with over 700 acres devoted to teaching, research, and outreach. Both of these are very unique assets for the university that help to recruit, retain talented faculty, staff, and students. Last slide, please. The illustrative framework plan shows an ideal organizational strategy that university leadership can use to properly locate new facilities and adjust operational infrastructure over time. An important attribute of the campus plan is that it serves to connect people, ideas, and community. A well-thought-out framework helps ensure a welcoming and collaborative environment to support our academic research and outreach endeavors. Properly leveraging our facilities and land assets across the state will position the university for even greater success as the nation's not just pioneer, but premier land-grant university. Materials will be uploaded to the website campusplan.msu.edu. And again, on behalf of Barb and I, we want to thank the larger Spartan community for their engagement over this nearly two-year journey, and happy holidays to all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, and thank you to each of you, trustees. We have a properly moved motion. It has been seconded. I now call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? The motion carries. Thank you very much.
Next, as chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the Board of Trustees hereby authorizes the administration to purchase approximately 260 acres of land located in Onondaga, Michigan, to support the Dairy Cattle Teaching and Research Center upon such terms and conditions as may be acceptable to the president or the president's designee.
Thank you very much. Is there support?
Support.
Any discussion?
I believe that we have George Smith available for discussion. There he is.
Well, thank you very much, Trustee Vassar. I've had the pleasure of sharing with the Board of Trustees previously the programmatic vision and an anticipated impact of the capital investment in a new dairy teaching and research facility on South Campus. And we were grateful for the Board's approval to initiate construction that happened at the October 27th meeting. As we move forward with this transformational project, we will continue to look for strategies to enhance operational efficiency and our ability to deliver on our teaching, research, and outreach mission, and further maximize return on investment to Michigan State University, our agricultural community, and the state of Michigan who have invested in this foundational project. So that plan for the new facility calls for almost tripling the number of animals. And as you triple the number of animals, you also triple the amount of feed required to sort of support those animals and the teaching and research mission. We have a very, very solid operational plan and process already, but that's heavily dependent upon purchasing feed from outside resources. And as you travel through the agricultural district, which Steve Truce referred to, and look around, I'm here to tell you every single acre on South Campus is directly tied to our foundational plant science research programs, our research and teaching programs in animal science, and or raising feed to support those animals. So it's through the great work of the real estate office, they were able to identify some farmland that's actually for sale that will help us further meet our needs for feed production, and also provide the efficiency needed and flexibility to be able to raise special feedstuffs that may be needed for you know, research projects. So this will allow us to enhance our operational efficiency and maximize return on investment from this project, and we appreciate your support.
Thank you very much. Trustees, we have a properly made motion, which has been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstentions? The motion carries. Trustee Vassar?
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the Board of Trustees hereby authorizes the administration to project entitled MSU Museum Infrastructure Improvements Accreditation.
Thank you. Is there support?
Support.
Any discussion?
There should be Judith Stoddart for discussion.
Thank you very much, Trustee Vassar, and thank you very much for having me here today. The MSU Museum, as many of you know, is a foundational part of learning and research on campus. The first collections were established in 1857, the year MSU formally opened to its inaugural class of students. It is one of the earliest established university museums in the nation. Today, it serves as a hub for the kind of strategic research and teaching collaborations promoted by Vision 2050 at the heart of North Campus. Its collections of over 1 million objects that span natural sciences and material and cultural history support new transdisciplinary lines of inquiry that characterize a complex public research university with a global impact. In 2023, the Vertebrate Collections alone has been used for over 140 scholarly articles by faculty here and around the world, with emphasis in the areas of evolution, biodiversity, climate change, and disease ecology, and with over 35,000 citations in the last 5 years. The museum partners with faculty on federal grants and brings in its own grants to help conserve, grow, and digitize its collections for international use. In 2023 and 2020, in the 2022-23 academic year, the museum engaged over 6,000 MSU students from 16 of MSU's 17 colleges through formal coursework that used collections and exhibitions for experiential learning, and the museum hosted 13 classes on site. To support innovations in teaching and learning, the museum received a $2 million endowment from the MSU FCU to support the MSU Museum CoLab Studio last year, and another $2 million from the Forest Acres Trust this fall to create an exciting new Forest Acres immersive lab and exhibit lab in the next few years. The museum is part of several national networks, including the Association of Science and Technology Centers and the Smithsonian Institutions affiliates, as the state's first Smithsonian affiliate museum in 2001. These network affiliations and the museum's increasing success in securing grants are possible because the museum is nationally accredited by the American Alliance of Museums, AAM, which is the gold standard for all museums in the U.S., and only approximately 3% of museums are accredited in the nation. And we are one of a handful of Big Ten institutions that is proud to have two AAM accredited museums, the other being the MSU Broad Art Museum. Investment in the museum is critical now because in its last accreditation review in 2018, AAM indicated that reaccreditation will depend on remediation of temperature and humidity controls in alignment with industry standards for collection stewardship, storage, and exhibition. The museum, as many of you probably know, currently has no central air system, and the primary spaces in the building have no air conditioning or air circulation, including the primary exhibition spaces. Losing accreditation would jeopardize the museum's competitiveness for federal grants that are the primary means of supporting collections care, maintenance, and digitized access. Renovation and reaccreditation will enable the MSU Museum to serve as a central campus catalyst for teaching, learning, and research at the intersection of the arts, sciences, and humanities. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustees, we have a properly made motion, which has been seconded and discussed. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Trustee Vassar?
Thank you. The committee received updates from Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer and Treasurer Lisa Frace, and I appreciate your work, Lisa, and the committee appreciates your work. The Budget and Finance Committee has had a busy and productive year. I'd like to share a few highlights from the past year. Approval of over $500 million in capital investment, including projects that support student success, belonging, and wellness. For example, the new Multicultural Center is a $38 million project that will open in 2024 in the fall. The Multicultural Center will foster cultural and intellectual curiosity, and understanding in a supportive, welcoming environment and create a sense of belonging, support, and community among students, faculty, staff, and alumni from all backgrounds and social identities. Meanwhile, the new Rec and Wellness Center, a 300,000 square foot, $200 million project, will provide a modern student recreation center that will promote student health and wellness and help to accommodate significant student recreation and fitness demand on campus. It will be substantially complete in February 2026. In October, the board approved the annual State of Michigan required MSU five-year capital plan and capital outlay request for a State of Michigan cost participation for the new Engineering and Digital Innovation Center that is currently in planning. We're excited about EDIC. And today we adopted Vision 2050, an integrated facilities and land use plan. It is informed by the MSU 2030 strategic plan. The plan establishes a flexible framework to guide physical development in alignment with MSU's academic research and outreach mission and established planning and budgeting protocols. Finally, a key fiduciary responsibility of the board, including a $45.8 million investment in employees. This budget, the highest priority for our funding in this budget was compensation, with 71% of the incremental revenues allocated to salaries, wages, and benefits. The budget allocated $37.1 million to increase general fund salaries and $8.7 million to related benefits in the fiscal year 2024. We are committed to our employees, and we greatly appreciate all the hard work of everyone who makes MSU magnificent. That is the end of my report.
Very good. Thank you. I now call upon Trustee Dennis Denno to present the Committee on Academic Affairs report.
Hi. Thank you very much. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Academic Affairs, otherwise known as the Awesome Academic Affairs Committee, I move that the board hereby approves the establishment of the Department of PA Medicine in the Michigan State University College of Osteopathic Medicine.
Very good. Do we have any discussion?
I think we're supposed to call for support, I think.
We just called for support, and now we'll call for discussion. I believe
you have to turn up your volume so you can hear. She already did all
that. She did. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm kind of screwing up here. Again, this is why you shouldn't have me run meetings. So I'd like to call on my absolute favorite medical doctor, Dr. Norm Beauchamp, to talk about this.
Thank you, Trustee Denno. Honored to be that. Thank you. The state of Michigan has a well-known physician shortage. One in five adults in Michigan does not have a primary care physician. Addressing this is amongst MSU's highest priorities. We very specifically call this out in our 2030 strategic plan, and the physician assistant or PA profession complements our premier training programs of osteopathic medicine and allopathic medicine, as well as our nurse practitioner program in the College of Nursing. Today's action formalizes the existing PA medicine program into an academic department. This will further position the department for even greater impact across all the missions of MSU. The PA medicine program was initiated in 2018, enrolling 32 students in May 2022, and is on track to grow to 36 students in May 2024, and I want to recognize Director and Professor John McGinnity, a national leader in PA programs. And I appreciate the board's support for this program being established as a department.
Thank you very much, trustees. There's a properly made motion, which has been seconded and discussed. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
Hey, thank you. I'm sorry. The committee heard updates on the MSU Henry Ford Health Partnership and Academic Student Success Initiatives. Over the past year, the committee has been very busy. A few highlights of our work include revisions to bylaws, substantially updated in 2003, furthering the governance work and process of the board, restructuring of the policy manual. First comprehensive overhaul of the board's policy structure since the Detroit Tigers won the World Series in 1984. The restructuring will update, restructure, and provide a more consistent level of information for those charged with implementing or complying with a particular policy. Amendment to Ordinance 18.00, revised to provide clarity to the university's prohibition of the possession and use of firearms and weapons on property governed by the board. Approval of 7 new academic departments, which benefits to medical students and applying for residencies. Growth of these programs brings opportunities for strengthening and enriching educational research activities and aligning efforts across departments and programs to achieve critical healthcare and educational goals, addressing societal issues that impact Michigan residents and beyond. The board has also discussed student success initiatives, admissions, and enrollment, and we look forward to further conversations in the spring semester. This is why our committee is the coolest committee on campus, and this concludes my report.
Thank you very much. I now call upon Trustee Dan Kelly to present the Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance.
Thank you. First of all, I have a couple of announcements. First, as part of the audit, risk, and compliance discussion in executive session yesterday, the board consented to settle claims with 3 families that lost a child during the February 13th shooting on campus. The general counsel is therefore authorized to execute such documents and agreements as may be necessary or appropriate to implement those settlements in principle. While no amount of compensation can ever replace the loss of a life, we do hope this brings some closure, support, and relief to those families. The university gives its deepest condolences to each of the 3 families, and we are committed to ensuring the memory of their child is not forgotten in the Spartan community. The university remains committed to enhancing safety on campus and providing mental health support to our community as we continue to heal. We honor the memories of those we lost by working to create an environment where safety and well-being of our community is a top priority. Secondly, the university received an update from the law firm of Jones Day regarding the investigation into alleged breaches of confidentiality regarding the Office of Civil Rights case involving former head coach Mel Tucker. The investigation is complete. Jones Day will now be drafting and producing a public report. I will now proceed with the action items of the committee. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance, I move that the board hereby approve the following: a service agreement with Editing Fix, an option agreement with Acula File, an exclusive licensing agreement with Motion Grazer, a sponsored research agreement with Copus Ag Tech, a sponsored research agreement with Copus Biomass Solutions, an option agreement with Gannick Inc., a sponsored research agreement with Gannick Inc. I believe Doug Gage is available if we have any questions with regard to the service agreements we've asked to approve.
Very good. Let me call for support before discussion. Do I have support for the motion? Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? The motion carries. Trustee Kelly?
Thank you. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance, I move that the board hereby adopt the governance principles outlined and included in the public packet.
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion?
It's about time.
I now call for a roll call vote. Secretary Fletcher.
Thank you very much, Interim President Woodruff. Roll call vote will proceed. Trustee Byram?
Yes.
Trustee Dano?
Yes, yes, yes.
Trustee Kanaki Jefferson?
Yes.
Trustee Kelly?
Yes.
Trustee Pierce?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Tebe?
Yes.
Trustee Bassa?
Yes.
Interim President, the vote is 8-0. The motion is approved.
Very good. Trustee Kelly?
Finally, at the request of the board's ARC subcommittee, the university's general counsel was asked to prepare a resolution authorizing the release of documents related to the Attorney General's investigation of the Larry Nassar matter. The resolution is in the public packet. May I have a motion with regard to the resolution?
Thank you. Any further discussion? I now call for a roll call vote. Secretary Fletcher.
Andrew President, I believe the motion just has to be read if possible.
Thank you. Trustee Kelly?
All right. Stefan, would you like me to read the entire resolution?
Yes, please.
All right. Whereas the Board of Trustees of Michigan State University is a corporate entity created by and existing under the Constitution of the State of Michigan of 1963 with full constitutional authority and general supervision of Michigan State University. And whereas in 2018, the Michigan Attorney General served a search warrant on the university in connection with the Attorney General's investigation of the Larry Nassar matter and other Title IX matters unrelated to Larry Nassar. And whereas the university completed an examination of its records, compiled documents responsive to the warrant, and provided nearly 120,000 documents to the Attorney General, subject to appropriate redactions of personal information necessary to comply with applicable privacy statutes. And whereas the university, when compiling the documents responsive to the warrant, also compiled a privileged log of responsive documents that in part or whole contained information subject to attorney-client and work product privileges. And the university produced that privileged log to the Attorney General and produced to the Attorney General approximately 2,000 documents logged on the privileged log with appropriate redactions and withheld approximately 4,000 privileged documents in their entirety. Whereas the 54B District Court of the County of Ingham conducted an in-camera examination of the privileged log and privileged documents and determined in a March 13, 2019 order that the university had properly exercised its privilege and the Attorney General closed its investigation in March 2021. And whereas in April 2023, the Attorney General made a new request that the university release to the Attorney General in full all documents not previously released in response to the warrant. And whereas the university desires to cooperate and provide finality in the matter. Therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees authorizes the Vice President for Legal Affairs and General Counsel to conduct and oversee the examination of documents identified in the privilege log created in the Attorney General's investigation and release such documents to the Attorney General subject to any appropriate redactions for information necessary to comply with and protect individual interests under the Family Education Rights and Privacy Act of 1974, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, and other applicable privacy statutes and any applicable protective orders entered by federal and state courts or third-party confidentiality agreements, and to protect attorney-client privilege communications concerning matters unrelated to Larry Nassar. And be it further resolved that the administration is directed to develop and implement a trauma-informed plan to provide the necessary support and resources to individuals who may be impacted by the release of the documents that are within the scope of this resolution.
Thank you. We have a properly made motion, which was seconded and read fully. Any further discussion? I now call on the secretary for a roll call vote to the board.
Thank you, Interim President Woodruff. Trustee Byram.
Yes.
Trustee Denner.
Emphatic yes. Yes.
Trustee Kanacki Jefferson.
Yes.
Trustee Kelly.
Yes.
Trustee Pierce.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Tebay.
Yes.
Trustee Bassa.
Yes.
Interim President, the vote is 8-0. The resolution is adopted.
Thank you very much.
That concludes my report. Thank you.
Very good. I now call upon Trustee Kelly Tebe to present the Committee on Student Life and Culture report.
Thank you. This month, the committee received updates from student organizations as part of a student leaders gathering at Brody Hall. We received an update and had conversation with the NAACP group and a presentation on Black student initiatives. As we reflect on the past year, I'd like to share some of the work the Student Life and Culture Committee has done. In regards to student mental health, we reviewed current mental health services for students and devised processes for supporting university health and well-being initiatives. We reviewed student engagement with recreation, sports, and wellness this semester, including the increase in IM sports participation by almost 20% this semester. And we've implemented new initiatives to engage with students more as a committee. We have two dinners that we scheduled with the student leaders groups. One we had on November 30th, and one we will have next semester on March 2024. And we're continuing to have conversations on ways that we can engage with students going forward. This concludes my report.
Thank you very much. I now call upon Board Secretary Stephen Fletcher to invite public participation on other items.
Thank you very much, Interim President Woodruff. We'll now proceed to the part on item not germane to the agenda portion of the meeting. Each individual who has signed up to speak will have 3 minutes to address the board. Your time will end when the buzzer sounds. Again, given the number of speakers today, we really do ask that you try to keep to that 3 minutes pretty tightly. Note that persons scheduled to speak may not cede all or any of their time to other individuals or read statements on behalf of others. We will now hear from Felicia Wasson, followed by Donya Odom. Felicia, can you hear me?
Good morning. Yes, I can hear you.
Good morning. Please proceed with your comments.
Good morning. Good morning, Interim President Woodruff, Board Chair Basser, trustees, students, faculty, staff, alumni, and friends of my beloved alma mater. My name is Felicia Turrentine Wasson, a 1993 graduate of the College of Social Science at Michigan State. I consider it a privilege to speak to you today. In addition to being a proud graduate, I am a child of the city of Lansing, a member of the board of directors of the Women's Leadership Institute and Alumni Leadership Council in the College of Social Science, and of the Women in Philanthropy Group of MSU. Michigan State holds a near and dear place in my heart, for it is where I found and developed my voice as a scholar, a woman, and successful professional and leader. I dedicate my time, talent, and my treasure to the university, no matter how far away my travels take me. Michigan State is home. I come to you today as our university faces significant challenges. While this is not the first time we have yet again found ourselves at a crucial point that I believe is a moment for all of us to right this ship. I attended the university from 1988 to 1993. During that time, for 8 days, I and many of my fellow students staged a sit-in at the administration building to protest racial inequities. Like-minded students decided to use their voice to effectuate change to disrupt the status quo. During those years, the graduation and retention rate of Black students lagged significantly behind white and Asian students. To my dismay, this disparity still exists. But you, trustees, are keenly aware of these gaps. I mention them to remind you of your purpose. While personal differences, accusations, and disagreements have been stated time and time again, it is imperative that we put these differences aside and focus on the students. I would dare say that most of us, if not all of us, would have colleagues that disagree with our method in our respective workplaces. That is inherently human. Change is hard. But disruption is often necessary. I would like to publicly applaud Board Chair Vassar for her resolve. I do believe that public service is still a noble profession. She, like all of you, volunteers her time, leaving her family and other obligations to serve the university. She is extremely qualified, passionate, and invested in the success of students at MSU. Disruption is terrifying at times. But what I learned most while sitting on the floor of the John Hanna Administration Building for those 8 days is that disruption is necessary and required if we want to see significant change. Some of our most storied heroes were disruptors in their time and are now held up as models for change. Shirley Chisholm, Muhammad Ali, Fannie Lou Hamer,
Mahatma Gandhi. I'd like to encourage Dr. Vassar to be steadfast and unmovable when it comes to our students. We are counting on you, Interim President Woodruff, President Guskowitz, and your fellow board members to right this ship. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next public speaker is Donya Odom, followed by Cynthia Johnson. Donya, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
I can indeed. Donya, please proceed with your comments.
You're worried about Dr. Rima on a plane while your minoritized students are suffering. Your outcome for Black students are abysmal. I've watched them come to you and beg you all for protection and safety. They ask you to listen to them, to address the anti-Black racism they are experiencing on campus. Instead of protection, you've attacked them. You've added to the violence they are experiencing by criminalizing them. Jack Lipton, how do you call yourself an educator? Educators are responsible for the growth and development of their students. Enacting violence on them thwarts their growth, impairs their development. You are not an educator. You have a position at MSU, but you're not an educator. You need to apologize to the people you've criminalized in the news. Apologize and make amends. Ask what can you do to earn their forgiveness, and hope they tell you. Back to the plane, Jack, you are manipulative. That you would weaponize accreditation like this is despicable. The HLC will see straight through this ploy, just like the attempts to stop the presidential search. I heard that you and Trustee Bynum attempted to stop the search. It didn't work. But you did succeed in alienating people, students, and donors. Dr. Rima has integrity. She comes to this board to serve. On that plane is what she was doing. The donor, Steve St. Andrew, is a devoted Spartan, a major donor for MSU. He has no contracts with the university, no bids. All he does is give millions of dollars. According to the HLC criteria 2C, aren't trustees supposed to be fiduciaries? Trustees, why aren't you on planes? Isn't your job bringing money into the university should be what we all do? Or do you have conflicts? Back to Jack. So you reported to the HLC that Dr. Rima is doing her job, doing it well. What job are you doing, Dr. Lipton? Clearly, you are not here to educate and pursue the best interests of the university. What are you all doing here? Without a mission, you promote chaos and destructive behavior. You will not destroy Dr. Rima. Dr. Rima is authentic. She is the same everywhere she goes. Brilliant, smart, asks hard questions of herself, beautiful inside out. She is bold, unafraid, and courageous advocate. Only weak board members are intimidated by Dr. Rima. She knows why she's here. Do you self-reflect and find out your mission and your values, and look into the lives of those who look at your values and live out those as leaders for an institution. Remember that Dr. Rima is here to serve. You know she knows who she is, who she came from, keeping close and keeping choosing love, even in the lion's den. You will not prevail because truth always wins out. I trust Dr. Rima and you should too.
Thank you, Donya, for your comments. I don't believe Cynthia Johnson has joined at this stage, so we'll next move to Tanisha Manningham, followed by Merlene Coakley. Tanisha, can you hear me?
I can.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Please proceed with your comments.
Good morning, everyone. My words will be short but sweet. I stand in support of Dr. Rima Vassar, the Michigan State University Board Trustee Chair. In the 3 years I've had the privilege of working with her, she has been nothing but supportive of the work that Black women leaders have done in the city of Detroit. To see her going through this tumultuous storm is very disheartening. She has been well-respected in the realm of education for many years. And so it is very disappointing to see that she's been thrown under the fire for things that she should not be thrown under the fire for. So again, I just want to say, Dr. Rima, that I love you. You know that I have all the utmost respect for you. I stand with you. You have to continue to trust your purpose because the truth will prevail. Thank you.
Dinesha, thank you very much. Our next speaker is Merlene Coakley, followed by Tracy Jefferson. Merlene, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Ooh, good morning. Please proceed with your comments.
Good morning. I am a principal within Detroit Public Schools Community District. Dr. Rima walks in wellness with me and 20 other Black women leaders. We focus on loving ourselves so that we can love our school communities. I am here to support her and to speak to who she really is. My heart broke for her in October when I saw her name and face on the news. Though I am disappointed by these attacks that she is experiencing, I am not surprised. Anytime someone champions marginalized people, pushes for equity and justice for those who are neglected and underrepresented, they will suffer the brutality of those committed to maintaining status quo. Dr. Rima is a change agent. She has worked for her entire life to change education. She has helped me in my leadership as I seek to serve families in my school community and right educational wrongs. They continue to suffer in a system that actively oppresses them. During our three-year friendship, she has helped me identify areas of growth for myself and my school community. Her focus on wellness has helped me value myself, discover my dreams, and commit to loving myself so that I may love others. Again, seeing her mischaracterized on the news hurts me deeply. Someone who loves and gives so freely of herself to others in service should not be attacked like this, doesn't deserve to be bashed like this. I talked with Dr. Rima about what she is experiencing. Through our wellness journey, we focus on compassion and empathy and understanding. I do not understand why or how people can be this cruel, but through our focus on love, I can feel badly for those who have attacked her. I know that those who commit these kinds of loveless acts lack love for themselves. Anyone who would seek to hurt someone else must be hurt themselves. I pray for Dr. Rima. I pray for her strength and resolve while committing to be a leader wherever she goes. I pray she doesn't lose heart, doesn't get weary, and is doing well, doesn't give up on her mission to improve the lives of others. We need her. I also pray for those that are trying to hurt Dr. Rima. I pray that you heal from whatever traumas you have experienced that would cause you to lash out this way. Dr. Rima promotes self-care and encourages counseling. Please get help. Your life will be better when you heal whatever wounds that you have that are resulting you to hurt another person. Dr. Rima, take care of yourself. Center your peace. Find joy in the midst of this turmoil you are going through. You will get through it, and everyone will be better for it.
Thank you very much, Merlene. Appreciate the comments. Tracy Jefferson is our next speaker, followed by Lucius Vassar. Tracy, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Can indeed. Good morning, and please proceed with your comments.
Okay, thank you. I've been paying attention to the board since the malicious attack on Dr. Rima Vassar. I have a few observations. Thank you for letting me speak this morning. It seems to me Dr. Vassar is practicing what she promised, accountability and transparency. She wanted to release the Nassar documents. Judging by October's meeting, she's not the only one. If it's true that most of you said what you said you would release them, why haven't you? The administration is a problem. The survivors, the swim and dive advocates, the grad students, the Palestinian students, the Dean Gupta supporters all came to address complaints they had of the administration, not Dr. Vassar. Yet, the media coverage was focused on Dr. Vassar. It seems you are scapegoating the lone Black woman leader on the board who shows authentically for all the problems administration is causing. This is common. Black women leaders are often blamed for problems they didn't cause and were not allowed to solve. Speaking of media coverage, the Faculty Senate Chair Dr. Lipton is reckless with his words and actions. Why is he allowed to talk about students in this manner? Mobs are criminal enterprises. Is this how MSU faculty think of Black students? Why hasn't there been a public apology to students who came to voice their concerns about the administration and the board's treatment of Dr. Vassar? Jack, is there a reason you have not apologized for your statement? Even if you believe Black students, Palestinians, and survivors are criminals, can you not see the harm you have done in voicing that belief in the media? Are you not sorry that students feel unsafe because of what you said? And does Jack Lipton represent the thoughts and views of all faculty there? If not, why has only the Black faculty condemned him? At the last meeting, I saw at least four other faculty represented, all women. Do you agree with him? If not, why have you not held your leader accountable? Also, the state news. I have paid close attention to your coverage of Chairwoman Vassar. You're obviously biased. Attacks on Dr. Vassar have been consistent since she became chair. Alex Walters is writing single source stories of her and her alone. Before Dr. Vassar became chair, he barely covered the board. Alex Walters is a young, impressionable student who plainly gets information leaked to him about Dr. Vassar. That he is allowed to write these stories with one source is not good journalism. Who is the paper's advisor? Alex is supposed to be getting a good education in journalism. Where is the guidance? Why is no one teaching him? And finally, who are the sources? Dr. Reamer has been cleared of leaking. She's obviously not leaking lies about her to Alex Walters in the state news. Who on the board is? It seems that you board members accuse her of what you actually are doing. Where are your ethics? Chair Dr. Reamer is a principal leader dedicated to student success, overlooks Spartans injustice. I'll say what I said before. Leave her alone and let her do her work. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tracy. Our next speaker will be Lucius Vassar, followed by Maisha Stewart. Lucius, are you with us?
I am, Dr. Fletcher. Can you hear me?
I can indeed. Good morning, and please proceed with your comments.
Thank you. Emmons Hall, December 1987. As an undergraduate, I, like many students, was slugging it out with finals. Some of us had to work during the break to help with school expenses. I worked at the MSU physical plant doing minor repair and painting. I still found time to have some fun, whether I was back home in Niles or spending the holidays with my friends in Detroit. I hope all of our current students will do so as well. The Law College, December 1997. At MSU Law, I enjoyed a brief break from school, but I was still working full time, often spending late nights at the Capitol on the black and white tiles of the lobby outside of the House or Senate chambers, preparing for the legislature to adjourn and the day of sine die. It was during the 1990s that I first met Kathy Wilbur. Her legacy of service lives on, and our thoughts and prayers remain for her and her family. Today, my Spartan holiday experience is very different. Our adult children are newly minted Spartan alumni or students looking forward to a needed break. Rima and I are creating Christmas and Kwanzaa memories for our youngest children who may be future Spartans in the class of 2033 and beyond. No matter who you are as a Spartan, no matter what stage of life, no matter how you recognize the season, please embrace this opportunity as 2023 comes to a close, an opportunity to reflect. 2023 brought many challenges, but none of us will experience what the families of our fallen and recovering Spartans are facing this season. They are in my prayers. An opportunity to refresh and renew. An opportunity to rest and reconnect. An opportunity to recommit and resolve to improve in the coming year. For 2024, let's all commit to doing better, to being better as a unified Spartan family. Let's heal and grow stronger together. To some of the many Spartan spouses, to Tom, Kathy, Jim, Raina, Adam, Wallace, I'm sure you're looking forward to some quality time with your Spartan spouse, as am I. You and your families make a unique sacrifice in sharing your favorite Spartan with the broader MSU community. This has been especially true for Dr. Tom O'Halloran. It was good to see you again recently, Tom, and watching your eyes light up as you talked about having more of Teresa's time in the coming year. Thank you, Interim President Woodruff, for your service. In closing, I want to extend a warm welcome and holiday cheer to some new members of the Spartan family, incoming President Guskowitz. I look forward to your leadership with high expectations and full support. As you and Amy get settled, know that I am among many who stand ready to assist you. Coach Smith, we've not had an opportunity to meet, but know that we also welcome you and your family and look forward to your success. Coach, I do have a small request, but you have plenty of time to deliver. We need a bowl game to look forward to this time next year. To the entire Spartan family, I wish you peace and blessings. Go Green.
Thank you so much, Lucius. Our next speaker will be Maisha Stewart, followed by Alyssa Hakeem. Maisha, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can indeed. Good morning, Maisha. Please proceed with your comments.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I spoke at the last meeting, and I'm here again to lend support to Chair Vassar, my sister, and an exceptional leader. Hopefully, this is the last time I will have to come and address this board regarding Dr. Rima's treatment. Congrats to you, though, on selecting a new president. Dr. Rima is excited about new leadership, and I do hope you are excited about this new president as well. I hope you take this as an opportunity to reset with Chair Vassar, work with her, and charge forward. Here is a chance to lead as strong women do. So we have a historic opportunity right now. Instead of capitalizing on it, I'm dismayed with the negative press MSU consistently receives. A shooting with students killed and injured, fired football coach, anti-Semitism, anti-Palestinian violence, anti-Black racism, all in the last year. This is not the time for more negativity and finger pointing. This meeting is virtual, but Dr. Rima confidently attended the last meeting in person while in the midst of an assault on her character and ability. She took beatings from her own colleagues, but she wore them like a designer coat. She walked into the meeting with her head high, looking flawless as always. That's a testament to her strength and her skill as a leader. The attacks on her character are not just harmful to her, they injure MSU. Creating crises with women attacking another woman is deplorable, unnecessary, and damaging to the reputation of MSU and women leaders. And to what end? What is your aim? As fiduciaries of this university who are responsible for thousands of lives, including impressionable students, you need to put the needs of those you serve above yourselves. Please, please stop. Attend to the work of MSU. Pay attention to your service. If your eyes are on Dr. Rima, look for ways you can help her, not harm her. Joining her as a colleague, a peer, a professional should be your objective. You have new leadership coming soon. Choose to be new leaders yourselves. Dr. Rima, you are loved. You are love. Do not dim your light for others' comfort. Continue to be a beacon of transparency, accountability, and servant leadership. You have vast support. Continue to be beautiful. We are watching. Wanting the best for you and MSU. Thank you.
Thank you, Maisha. Much appreciated. Our next speaker is Alyssa Hakeem, followed by Saba Saeed. Alyssa, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm muted. Thank you. Today I'm joining from the student-led session. I'm going to begin. So today I refuse to be palatable. I refuse to speak in a way that reinforces the white supremacist system, structures, and thoughts that my people and, quite frankly, all marginalized people are victimized by. To speak in that way subdues the resistance of both the Lebanese and greater Arab communities, especially those in Palestine, which is totally counterproductive. I will no longer bite my tongue and beautify my words so they are palatable to ears that only listen and understand colonial viewpoints. Yesterday, I was afraid to do this. I was afraid to speak my truth and to honor my history because of the retaliation I faced. I was afraid to further academic and professional retaliation, particularly from my fellow Spartans that have already minimized and villainized me because of my Arab identity. I and every other student, faculty, staff member, and member of the administration should never feel that way. We should never feel intimidated by this institution and by our peers. We shouldn't be forced to sit here in silence while we witness people die, around 20,000 Palestinians dead at this point and nearly 2 million displaced. The current administration, from members of the Board of Trustees to the president to anyone else in a position to do something, has failed me and every other person like me. Your failure to adequately address the ongoing situation in Gaza is shameful and disappointing. The dead bodies of Palestinians, of the Lebanese, Syrians, and Egyptians that have been murdered are not some collateral damage to an unjust war. What's happening is genocide, and your silence is abhorrent. We have been treated and revered in undignified ways. We've been ignored, disrespected, criminalized, and minimized. Instead of real action, we're met with a bunch of cowardly, disgraceful, spineless figureheads who have done little to nothing to actually support students on campus and create a space of belonging and inclusion. The things that have been provided, such as academic accommodations, are a bare minimum that students had to call for. These accommodations and any meetings with students have been turned into talking points to shut us up and avoid the real problems. The truth is that all of these meetings are weaponized against us to make it look like MSU is actually doing something in terms of DEI. You're getting your brownie points while giving us empty words and no action. DEI is not a box to be checked, but the intentional and consistent analysis of the current limited tangible actions this university has taken and every action you have failed to take. The president couldn't even afford us a formal public apology for her previous statements released in October, which opened us up to racism, Islamophobia, and most specifically, anti-Palestinian hate and rhetoric. We cannot continue to function as a school when the institution itself adds to hate on campus and doubles down on it in denial. We students are clear about what we need, and Teresa has had our immediate demands for over a month. She went ghost until Monday when she invited many student leaders to her home so she could feel better about her moral compass while still remaining silent on the ongoing genocide. Muslim and Arab, specifically Palestinian, anti-Zionist Jewish students and our allies have been left in the dust. We've been ostracized and the sanctity of our privacy and safety has been destroyed. This university and every single one of you is failing its students. Shame on all of you because you've provided no way of ensuring you're doing anything to help us and you've given us nothing. Rather, you give hundreds of thousands of dollars in aid to the Israeli terror regime and millions to weapons manufacturers. This institution is cashing in blood money and all of your hands are dirty. So long as you are not doing everything in your power to remove yourself and this institution from the ongoing genocide, you are a failure. And to shy away from taking a firm stance is to recognize
Alyssa,
that injustice in the
Alyssa,
is the norm, and you will further
comments.
Solidify that as the status quo. So when we look critically at
Alyssa,
the status quo, we see exactly who benefits from it.
Thank you. Alyssa, we're going to conclude your remarks. We're sort of over the 3 minutes by a little bit, so thank you. We will next be moving to Saba Saeed, followed by Yusuf Abbas. Saba, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
We can indeed. Saba, good morning, and please proceed with your comments.
Good morning. I wanted to thank Chair Vassar and Trustee Deno for joining us today. Your continuous presence is truly valued, noted, and appreciated. You've been a great listening ear and acting body for the student voices. On the Board of Trustees website, it directly states the people of Michigan, through the state constitution, established the Michigan State University Board of Trustees to develop a free and distinguished university to promote the welfare of humanity through teaching, research, and service. To meet the directives, the constitution grants the board general supervision of the institution, including control and direction of all its expenditures and final authority in its government. So it is directly up to you to create the necessary changes and listen to your student body and their needs. It's quite frustrating and honestly embarrassing to watch and keep hearing that this position is a volunteer position and that many of you have day jobs, especially since Oxford Dictionary defines the term volunteer as a person who freely offers to take a part in an enterprise or undertake a task. So it's completely your free choice to take this position and uphold the values and fulfill the responsibilities that come with it. It is unprofessional and honestly somewhat childish to use that as a reason to justify your lack of commitment to bettering this institution. Being a student means we study, we work hard, and we aim to look up to those in position like yours as role models. But when our jobs become calling you out on your consistent failure, we lose that admiration we once thought we might have for leaders of an institution. We lose sight of what it's like transitioning between students and our adult life, and it forces us to get rid of any innocence or any childlike spirit and forces us to become accustomed to the reality of the dark, twisted world out there. So please, I urge you to do your volunteer work. Make your students, the stakeholders, those who elected you, feel like you volunteered because you care and not because you need something for a resume or for the name. You've had enough time to update your resumes by now. Divest from Israel. I don't want the blood of my people on my hands because I simply pay tuition for my education. Divest from weapon manufacturers and do not open Berkey Hall. Do I really have to say that? And for the love of God, say something in support of a ceasefire. Even the UN did it. I'll write your statements for you even. If you can't deal with the responsibility you signed up for because of your daily life, then resign. As you said, this is a volunteer position, something that you signed up for, something that you took on with your daily life, especially if those of you who literally, her title literally requires connecting with students and the student body. And please leave your personal feelings about each other outside of these meetings. We're just trying to get our education and survive on this campus. And Dr. Jack Lipton, am I not a threat now? I straightened my hair, I spoke calmly, and I tried sounding as white as I could. You may not be hungry for justice because you're full of privilege, but we are fueled by the fight to justice. So sorry, our fight for equality has threatened your white institution standards. And for the sake of a throwback to the last Board of Trustees meeting, shame on you, Dr. Lipton. Your words don't scare me, but they merely make me feel sorry for you because you don't have anything of meaning to really fight for. Thank you.
Saba, thank you. Our next speaker is Yusuf Abbas, followed by Leila Kunesh. Yusuf, can you hear me?
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can indeed. Good morning, and please proceed with your comments.
Today, I should feel nothing but joy and pride. I spent the past 4 years studying engineering, and now I finally succeeded, a moment that I worked so hard for. I grew to appreciate this university, the grounds, professors, staff, and fellow students that make this university great. It has been my dream since childhood to be an engineer and create things that help people. But this joy has been subdued by the indiscriminate bombing and suffering of the Palestinian people of Gaza and the West Bank. The people of Gaza faced Nakba, the same trauma my own family experienced in 1948. Seeing how this impacted my grandfather, who had to watch his own father murdered by the very same army that now bombs Gaza, I cannot help feel sorrow and pain. Palestinian students on your campus are all deeply distressed about our families. We see not only the humanitarian crisis where the people of Gaza have been denied adequate access to food, water, and shelter, and face bombings in so-called safe zones. We see extremist settlers harassed, evict, and murder Palestinians in the West Bank. Most gravely, we see Israeli politicians openly calling for the mass expulsion of Palestinians in Gaza. And yet, when asked for justice, for an end to the human rights abuses of Palestinians faced due to the Israeli occupation, politicians make empty promises and administrators hold long meetings that are not designed for dialogue and serious discussion, but to placate students with fake smiles. Behind closed doors, they'll say they understand or they feel our pain. I mean to tell you, these words mean nothing to me now. If the members of the board and the community do not know the gravity of the situation in Gaza, that is being done with the help of our own tax dollars and military industry, which the university is invested in, I'll ask you these questions. Would it convince you to release a statement if 20 Israeli-based human rights organizations wrote a letter to the president urging him to act to prevent a humanitarian catastrophe? They have done so already. Would it convince you, the university, or anyone to openly acknowledge that Palestinians face an apartheid system of government if former Israeli government officials and academics describe the occupation this way? Many have already spoken out, and now you too must come forward to speak on behalf of the Palestinian people and to speak for justice.
Thank you for your comments. Our next speaker is Leila Kunesh, followed by Samir Levitt. Leila, can you hear me?
Hi, yes, can you hear me?
I can indeed. Thank you, Leila. Please proceed with your comments.
Hi, I would like to talk today about the responsibilities of the Board of Trustees, the responsibility to students, to the community, and society generally. First, the Board of Trustees has a responsibility to the students of MSU, students who have been sounding alarm bells about the failure of the university to address Title IX reports, discrimination, and sexual assault. Students who have been struggling in the face of discrimination, students who have been struggling as the university has remained largely silent about events in Palestine. The board has a responsibility to all students and alumni who are struggling right now, but has shown more interest in performative and self-serving actions while engaging in petty internal disputes, simultaneously failing to act. The board is known to be elected by the voters of Michigan, but it is also known that universities largely serve as beacons of moral judgment for surrounding communities. As such, the board has a responsibility to these communities. The people of Michigan have watched as nearly every leader of the state condemns Islamophobia and anti-Arab hate while continue to perpetuate it with their words and actions, just as MSU has. The university has a responsibility to these communities to speak up about what is just, not only condemning Islamophobia and anti-Arab hate, but demonstrating bravery in speaking about Palestine and Palestinians broadly. Finally, the university has a responsibility to society at large. As an institution, MSU has a voice and power, a power it currently uses to support hate, white supremacy, and genocide through its words, actions, and with the money it spends. The university reports investments in weapon manufacturing, fossil fuels, and the State of Israel, money that is used to further engage in killings and brutality abroad. The trustees have a responsibility to wash the blood off of their hands, a responsibility to the society to lead by example and recognize how the nation has failed communities as it supports a genocide, a responsibility to divest, a responsibility to stand in support of a ceasefire. I hope the board can take these words to heart and finally recognize the responsibility it holds and take actions instead of engaging in performative words and acts.
Thank you, Layla. Our next speaker is Samir Levitt, followed by Abdo Karayim. Samir, can you hear me? Good morning, Samir. Okay. We'll move to our next speaker, Abdo Karayim, followed by Gabby Bassell. Abdo, can you hear me? Okay. We'll keep sort of moving through the list. Gabby Bassell is our next speaker. Gabby, are you there? Okay. That will take us to Rebecca. Are you present for your comments this morning?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Good morning, Rebecca. I was worried I was talking to myself for a short while. So good morning, and please proceed with your comments.
Thank you. Hello to the board, students, alumni, community members, and thank you for the privilege of speaking today to share my thoughts. My name is Rebecca Hogan. I graduated from Michigan State in 2007 with a Bachelor of Arts in International Relations from James Madison College, and I'm a proud Honors College alumni. In 2006, I was on the MSU Homecoming Court, a chosen representative of the university community. I was also a resident assistant for over 2 years in the residence halls and the president of the 2006-2007 Senior Class Council. Furthermore, both of my parents are Michigan State alumni, and I say all this to demonstrate that I have for a long time been a proud member of the Michigan State community. That being said, I recently reviewed the university's investments and was very shocked and appalled. I'm here today to urge the university and decision makers to make me proud of my university again by pulling all investments out of the State of Israel. I've spent the course of my life and career as a social justice advocate, humanitarian, and add to that, now I'm a mother of 3 young children. Henry is 2, Riley is 3, and Annalise is 6. When I look at the pictures coming out of Gaza, and watch the videos of children torn apart by indiscriminate bombing, I see my children and I shudder. And our money is funding these bombs.
As a mom and concerned citizen, there's only so much I can do. I can boycott, I can protest, I can call my government representatives, and I can raise my voice to other elected officials such as you. But you have real power here. You can actually do something tangible with real money that will make an impact and furthermore say something symbolic. You have the ability to make a change to our university's investments and show that we are, as a public university, do not support how the innocent Palestinians are being killed, and we should not fund this war machine. The equivalent of two atomic bombs have been dropped on Gaza by the state of Israel in the last 2 months. This is not okay, and we do not need to fund this madness. Countless humanitarian organizations have called for a complete ceasefire and influx of aid to the region, including UNICEF, Doctors Without Borders, Amnesty International, Oxfam International, and many more. The United States General Assembly has voted overwhelmingly for humanitarian ceasefire, yet we are silent. The state of Israel, funded by the United States government and with actual dollars, including our investments, continue the relentless bombing campaign. Last week, Save the Children said, "We are running out of words to describe the horrors unfolding for Gaza's children. The conditions in Gaza are unprecedented and have rendered our jobs impossible. There's nothing humanitarians can do without an immediate and complete ceasefire. We cannot undo what we have done, but we can do better in the future. Please make me proud of my alma mater again. Divest from unethical investments in the state of Israel." And finally, I would be remiss to say that given the traumatizing events of last February on campus, those of you with actual power should take a full look at our investments and divest from all unethical corporations and governments, including Israel and all weapons manufacturers. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we go to Bridget, I think Gabby was having some technical issues, so we'll try Gabby again. Gabby, can you hear me now?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Yes. Please proceed with your comments.
Okay. Thank you. Hello, my name is Gabby, and I'm a PhD student in the philosophy program here at Michigan State University. I am not Palestinian, nor am I Muslim, nor am I of Middle Eastern descent. I am here because I am an anti-imperialist and an anti-capitalist. I am here to stand in solidarity with Haria and the other groups that are currently present because, as someone living in the imperial core, I believe it is my duty to stand in opposition to settler colonial violence. As someone who unfortunately has to pay taxes here in the United States, I often think about my role in helping to fund this genocide of innocent Palestinians. These feelings have intensified after learning that my university is also helping fund this genocide by sending $236,000 to the state of Israel, plus millions in weapons manufacturers, of course, as others have pointed out. Haria estimates that MSU is buying the murder of 3,840 Palestinians with this money. You might recognize the person in this photo, at least for the people here. His name is Tawrik Thabit. And he, along with 16 of his family members, were killed in an Israeli airstrike in early November. Tawrik was a former MSU Humphrey Fellow. I attended his vigil on campus last month, and I was sickened and saddened to hear the story of peril and desperation that he and his family experienced in the weeks leading up to their deaths. To the Board of Trustees, I feel incredibly sorry for you. I feel sorry because if I, like so many other American taxpayers, am so riddled with guilt and remorse over my role in funding this genocide, these feelings must be amplified tenfold for you. You must have lost an incredible amount of sleep and self-respect knowing that you continue to allow MSU to fund the genocide of almost 20,000 Palestinians and counting, and that's just since October. I feel so sorry for you that I'm playing the world's tiniest violin for you right now because actually I don't feel sorry for you at all. Unlike my legal obligation to pay taxes in this country, you have the decision-making power to cease MSU's aid to the state of Israel. What's your excuse? How many more people like Tawrik and his family have to die with their blood on your hands? If you care about the lives of Palestinian people, you will divest now. Free, free Palestine! I don't need my time. I don't yield my time. I'm going to keep on just... What's your name? Angelica is here and would like to speak.
Gabby, you are yield your time, so thank you. We'll be moving on. Our next speaker is Bridget
Half, who I don't think is here. So we will move to Shayla Barnes Jr. Shayla, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Good morning, Shayla, and please proceed with your comments.
Okay, it's no video, right? Okay.
Correct.
All right, hello. My name is Shayla Barnes Jr., a current law student, former D.C. Appleseed Center for Law and Justice intern, former Department of Health and Human Services intern, former Detroit Justice Center intern, which is right next door to MSU. I'm here independently. I'm not here on behalf of any one person, one student, one trustee. I'm here on behalf of Michigan State University, the MSU community, and the greater Michigan community in pursuit of justice and equity. Further, any person who enters a conversation about justice would be remiss not to acknowledge that every question of justice includes many intersectional, far-reaching effects that extend beyond the people impacted today. As the meeting action shows, the topic I am here to discuss is education. If anyone listening thus far thinks I have not already touched on education, then you are unfamiliar with what it means to educate. If you are a member of the MSU Board of Trustee community, an active participant engaged in the direction of MSU, then you have already heard that Dr. Rima is the Doctor of Educational Leadership in practice. However, that point cannot be belabored enough, especially when the question presented to MSU is who is best fit to safeguard, support, and elevate this educational institution. Michigan State University is not unfamiliar with scandal, so it should be much easier to distinguish a scandal from a solution. Please put Dr. Rima next to MSU's actual issues and critically assess where she measures up. I have done so and determined Dr. Rima is a solution, not a problem, not a problem. None of us can be in every room or listen to every conversation. For that data, people turn over their phones to the proper authorities. However, what each of us can do is acknowledge how unfortunate it is that a Black woman's attack on another Black woman has led us to this discourse. But hate is not unfamiliar to anyone here either. Thankfully, we have the motto Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. so graciously provided. Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. This motto has continued to ignite progress in all spaces, including education, until the recent Supreme Court rulings and the SSFA cases and others. Here, the very least we can do is uphold our duty to MSU and beyond by ensuring there's a fair and impartial assessment. This is the bare minimum. An opinion is simply that, an opinion. However, in our world and within these present realities, the more potential someone has to make an impact, the more potential public opinion has to extinguish their impact. Please do not let this continue to be MSU's story. When Dr. Rima was elected to MSU's Board of Trustees, then chosen as board chair, these were moments where the cycle of abuse at MSU was disrupted. No one was hurt. The people spoke and the people were heard. Please do not let this type of abuse continue based on an opinion launched in the back of one person. Let the people continue to choose their fighter because Dr. Rima has already chosen to fight you.
Shayla, thank you for your comments. Our next speaker is Yvonne White, followed by Joshua Mills. Yvonne, are you with us this morning?
Good morning, I am.
Good morning, Yvonne. Please proceed with your comments.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak. Good morning, MSU leaders and others present today. My name is Yvonne White, and I serve as the state president of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, NAACP, one of the nation's oldest civil rights organizations, and also the proud mother of an MSU graduate. Michigan State is not a stranger to racial incidents on their campus. However, upon returning from the COVID-19 lockdowns and in light of the February 13th campus mass shooting, we have received many complaints that have been a persistent escalation of racial motivated incidents that MSU minority students are experiencing and which has caused mental anguish for many Black and Brown students. This mental anguish has created great difficulties and burdens for minority students continuing their pursuit of higher education, both new and returning students. It is our understanding that the university continues to be complacent about ignoring the students' calls for MSU to be a safe learning environment. The lack of attention given by MSU officials has led to isolation, mental distress, and anxiety amongst Black and Brown students who feel as though they don't matter nor are valued in a space that should be safe for them to live and learn. When taking action, leaders across the campus, including the Faculty Senate Chair, turned to labeling our students as a mob when they attempted to voice their concerns. This is unacceptable. Despite the promises and commitments outlined in the presidential strategic plans, particularly in diversity, equity, and inclusion, the reality reflects the lack of protection and safety for MSU students of color. MSU has failed to deliver on the DEI promises made to and to implement the strategies outlined in the strategic plans. The NAACP urges Michigan State University Board of Trustees to develop safe spaces and to adopt a zero tolerance plan against racial motivated terrorism. I would like to publicly thank Trustee Board Chair Dr. Rima Vassar for her leadership and for being a champion for students, the underserved, and a true champion of justice. She has heard the cries of MSU students and has been very progressive with assisting Black and Brown students with navigating through their anxiety and mental distress. Thank you, Chair Vassar, for always speaking truth to power. And we urge the other trustees and administrators to get involved and truly hear the cries of all MSU students and be prepared to stand up and speak out and to address students.
Yvonne, we're going to have to, I appreciate your comments, but we have run over, so I'm going to move to our next speaker. And again, thank you for your comments this morning. Our next speaker is Joshua Mills, followed by Bintu G. Joshua, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I was wondering if it would be okay if I am seen for this.
There is no sort of video capability, but please proceed with your comments.
Good morning. My life has been profoundly affected and threatened by this university. My name is Joshua Mills. I'm 36 years old and a medical student at the MSU College of Human Medicine. For over 6 years, I've been living with HIV, an incurable infection that without treatment causes certain death. I have been pushed to openly disclose this sensitive topic to elicit appropriate action from university-level leadership. MSU requires health profession students be enrolled in appropriate health insurance. My treatment is paid for by a Michigan Medicaid health plan. For years, if a student has other insurance, they submit a waiver through a third-party vendor. In August, many who had waived the insurance were enrolled anyway without notice, resulting in disenrollment from our primary insurances. I first became aware on October 16th when I received notice from my Medicaid health plan. I immediately notified college and university staff. The response was ineffective. Furthermore, the specialty pharmacy I work with refused delivery of my meds due to lack of insurance coverage. This severe error and ineffectual response ripped away my access to the only thing keeping me alive. I enrolled in the College of Human Medicine, giving of my life to be a physician, to give life to others the way it has been given to me. It is sickeningly ironic that I must advocate to this university I attend, struggling against its systems for my own continued access to life itself. Please do not miss the incredible moral failing here. Due to Dr. Glossmacher's new role as interim EVPA, under his leadership, the bleeding of this profound systemic error occurring in August is just now being staunched, though it remains ongoing for myself and too many of my classmates. Within the authority allotted them, the College of Human Medicine leadership's response has been generous and swift since I first made them aware in October. They have been heartfelt and amazing. However, their advocacy to university-level leadership pre-Dr. Glossmacher was met with ineffective responses, moving far slower than the HIV in my body would without these meds. On fear of sickness and death over the last 2 months, I have spent countless hours circumnavigating the university working directly with the entities involved. This has impacted my mental and physical health as well as my academic performance. Without my personal contingencies and advocacy outside university-level administration, I would currently have an unsuppressed HIV infection endangering my life. I emphasize HIV works far faster than this university has. The impact and the consequences of this negligence have been profound. Firstly, I'm asking for transparency. I want to know that there are legal and financial consequences to mistakes at this level. I want to know that there, these clearly broken and dangerous systems are made safe for those of us who cannot guarantee our own well-being without uninterrupted access to healthcare. At this point, we students can no longer trust the university to care for us effectively. This injustice cannot continue another year, another semester, even another month. Secondly, I am demanding acknowledgement, accountability, apology, but more importantly, I am demanding a seat at the table moving forward. As the university makes its next decisions regarding our healthcare, I want a voice representing students like me, who frankly, at this point, need me to be there.
Joshua, thank you for your comments. Our next speaker is Bintu Jai, followed by Missy Chola. Bintu, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Good morning, and please proceed with your comments.
Good morning. The only person I would like to address here today is Brianna Scott and Faculty Senate Chair Jack Lipton. Brianna, for someone who decided to start all of this mess with the board, you are one scary individual. You're a liar and you don't care about us, and we all know that the reason this meeting is via Zoom today is because of you. All you continue to do is come up with excuses, and excuses are tools of the weak and incompetent. It's also shameful that as a Black Michigan State University alumni who claims to constantly get bullied and ridiculed, you have a notorious reputation from those who attended MSU.